Our scripture reading this morning comes from two places, or actually we're going to do three today. The first is Ezekiel chapter 1, or Ezekiel 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. And then we'll be reading from Daniel chapter 12. And finally, from our text, which is Revelation chapter 5. So let's begin in Ezekiel chapter 2. And I'll begin reading at verse 1 and be reading into chapter 3, verse 3. Ezekiel chapter 2. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says,' and whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or be terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." Then I looked, and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And he said to me, "Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll, then go and speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, "Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you, and fill your stomach with it." So I ate, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. Let us now turn to Daniel chapter 12. The last chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel comes after the book of Ezekiel. And we'll be reading the first four verses and then verses 8 and 9. The first four verses and then verses 8 and 9. This is the reading of God's word. "At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge." And then dropping to verse 8. "I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, 'My Lord, what will be the outcome of all this?' He replied, 'Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand.'" And then if you'll turn with me to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 5, and we'll be reading the first seven verses of Revelation chapter 5. "Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Thus the reading of God's word this morning from the books of Ezekiel, Daniel, and Revelation. I also want to mention that in your bulletins is an outline of this morning's message, and I want to encourage you to use that to follow along this morning in these three passages. When you read a scripture passage this morning, like Revelation 5, you're often left asking yourself all kinds of questions. What is the scroll? Why can't anyone open the scroll? Why is John weeping? And what is this? A lamb that has seven horns and seven eyes. But as we approach Revelation 5 this morning, we must be careful that we do not make this passage more difficult or harder than it really is. The reason so many Christians struggle with their interpretation of Revelation 5 is because they have placed the verses in the wrong time period. As I have said so many times before, there are those who approach the book of Revelation, and in particular Revelation 5, as holy future. That thus, these events described in Revelation 5 are speaking of events that have yet to take place in the future. And so you read the verses and you're left trying to figure out who or what will be the scroll, why this person is weeping and what that means for the future, and how the lamb with seven horns and seven eyes fits in to God's plan for the future here on earth or even in heaven. On the other hand, there are those who approach Revelation chapter 5 as if it is wholly past, as if it is wholly fulfilled during a specific time period in history, the time period in which the letter was written in 70 AD. And thus again, you're left seeing the images in Revelation 5, trying to understand what these images mean in terms of what history has taken place in the past. But this morning, as we approach Revelation 5 and these verses and the images described, we approach this passage, this chapter of Scripture, in a summation approach. That means we recognize that the book of Revelation is a summation book. It sums up for us all the rest of the biblical revelation which God has given for us. And so instead of trying to look and understand these images as something yet in the future, or these images as something that has already taken place, we approach this book as the summation of the revelation of God. And it brings us into our very own time period in history. And I think what you will find this morning as we approach the text this way, is that this passage is not so difficult to interpret after all. As we begin our understanding of Revelation 5, we have to first ask ourselves, what is the scroll? And the answer to understanding the scroll is found in the Old Testament background of the scroll. You notice in verse 1 of Revelation 5, we're told, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals." The first passage we read this morning was from the book of Ezekiel. And you may have noticed as we read those verses that a scroll is mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 9. And it is a scroll that has writing on both sides, just like Revelation chapter 5. And in Ezekiel 2, verse 9, the prophet looks into heaven and he sees a hand that is stretched out to him. Revelation 5 has a hand, the right hand of God, which is holding the scroll. But in Ezekiel's prophecy, this Old Testament prophecy, Ezekiel is looking into heaven and the hand is outstretched to him. And in it is the scroll, which when it is unrolled for Ezekiel, the prophet of God, to look and see, he sees that there is writing on both sides of the scroll, just like Revelation 5. And we're told in Ezekiel 2, verse 9, at the end of verse 9, that the words written on the scroll for Ezekiel are words of lament and mourning and woe. These are the words of God's judgment. These are the words of God's judgment which will fall upon His people. Words of lament and mourning and woe. And these are the words, as Ezekiel in chapter 3 is told, to eat the scroll and to then go to Israel and to speak these very words and to bring the message of God to God's people. He is warned that they are words of lament and mourning and woe for God's people. And as we read in chapter 2, they may not be friendly to him upon hearing the message that Ezekiel is called by God to bring. We are to assume that in Revelation 5, the words written on both sides of the scroll, the words of lament and mourning and woe, are the same words that are found on the scroll in Revelation chapter 5. A second point that we find in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 5 is that the scroll is sealed. And as we read this morning from the book of Daniel, again, we have Old Testament background to understanding the seals on the scroll. In Daniel chapter 12, we read earlier about the prince who will arise. And we read about a time of distress in verse 1 that has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. So what Daniel is speaking of is a twofold message. Daniel is speaking of a distress of woe that will come upon the nations, but he also speaks of God's grace and deliverance that will come for God's people. He also speaks in verse 4 of a scroll. And it is a scroll, verse 4, Daniel 12, that is sealed. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. So we're told in verse 4 that it is a scroll, that it is a sealed up scroll, and the scroll will not be opened until the end. And then as you drop down to verses 8 and 9, and Daniel asks the Lord, what will be the outcome of all of this? And the Lord replies to Daniel in verse 9, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. So Daniel is told about this scroll which is sealed. And the scroll is sealed up until the end time events begin. And upon the scroll, and following those end time events which begin, when they begin, will be a twofold message. The wicked will continue to be wicked and judged by God. And those who are wise, those who are purified, made spotless and refined, will know the salvation of God when it comes to the end. So we then go back, understanding this Old Testament background, to Revelation 5, verse 1. And suddenly we understand the meaning of this scroll. This scroll, according to Revelation 5, verse 1, is held in the right hand of the one who sits on the throne. The one who sits on the throne, we learned in Revelation 4, is the Father, is God the Father, who is seated on His throne in heaven that John sees in a vision. And the right hand of God, the strength hand in Scripture, the right hand is the strong hand. The right hand of strength is holding the events that will take place in this scroll in His sovereign hand. And on the scroll, we read again that it is a scroll with writing on both sides, just like in Ezekiel, a scroll with a message of woe and lamentation and the judgment of God which is coming. And it is sealed, this time, with seven seals. The seal represents the fact that God Himself has sealed it, that it holds what is in this scroll, the authority of God Himself, who speaks these words and who will bring about the events described on the scroll. And you notice, it is seven scrolls. I'm sorry. Seven seals on the scroll. Not one, Daniel 12, but seven. The number seven in the book of Revelation represents the number of completion. That means that what is written on this scroll is the summation of redemptive history. What is written on the scroll is the complete plan of the redemption of God that He has planned out from the beginning of creation. And now as we come to the very end of this book, the seven seals mean that this scroll is written in its completion. The final end time events are written on this scroll. But as John looks further, he sees a mighty angel. We don't know who this angel is by name, but we're told simply that it is a mighty angel. And this mighty angel is speaking to John in a very loud voice. And the mighty angel proclaims, "Who is worthy to break the seals and to open the scroll?" Notice the twofold message of this angel. Who is worthy to break the seals and who is worthy to open the scroll? Let's start with the second one. Who is worthy to open this scroll? It is sealed with the seven seals of God. The redemptive plan of God is sealed up. The woes of God, the judgment of God is sealed up. And who alone can break the seal which has been sealed since the time of Daniel in the Old Testament? Who can open it? Who can read it? Who is worthy to do such a thing? And second, who is worthy to break the seal? Who is worthy to bring about the beginning of these end time events? Who is the one, this angel declares, who is worthy to not only open the scroll and reveal the end time plan of God, but who is the one to break it and execute the end time plan of God? The mighty angel is speaking to John from heaven and he's saying, "Who is worthy to do it?" And in verse 3, we're told that no one is. No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or look inside it. No one in the kingdom of heaven, No one, no angel, no seraph, no cherubim, no living creature, no elder in heaven itself that was just described in Revelation 4. No one in all of heaven is worthy to open that scroll. No creature of the earth, no animal, no man, no king, no powerful person who thinks he is powerful on the earth. No one, according to this angel, no earthly creature is worthy to open this scroll and bring about the final end time revelation of God and the execution of his revelation and redemptive plan. And no one, thirdly, under the earth. In the Bible, under the earth represents the realm of hell. It represents where the devil is. It represents those who are under the earth in the realms of hell. No one there, no power, is worthy to open the scroll, to break the seal, and to read and execute the words of that scroll. And so, since no one can break it, no one is worthy to look inside it, we're told in verse 4 that John weeps. He wept, we're told, and wept. The vocabulary is repeated. This is intense weeping. He wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll and look inside. John has put himself in the shoes of an Old Testament saint. John now is speaking from an Old Testament perspective as it was left at the end of the book of Daniel. In this Old Testament perspective, as he has heard from this angel that no one is worthy to break this scroll, no one is worthy to unveil the redemptive plan of God, no one is worthy to break the seal and execute that redemptive plan, no one in heaven, no one on earth, no one under the earth, and John is weeping for God's redemption to take place. And all that is left for John is the woes and lamentations of the book of Ezekiel and his prophecy for the people of God. But then, one of the elders, verse 5. Remember, we said that the elders in Revelation 4, as they are gathered around the throne, are the resurrected saints who are giving praise and honor to God. One of the Old Testament saints, one of the elders, one of those saved and brought into the heavenly realms, said to me, "Do not weep. For see, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." The lion, the imagery of the lion, the king of the jungle, the most powerful creature of all the animals on earth, the Lion of the tribe of Judah is there. His roots are in the Old Testament King David. He is from the line of King David. This Lion of the tribe of Judah, he alone is worthy to unveil the redemptive plan of God and bring about the beginning of the end time events so that the execution of God's plan will begin and will take place. And so when John hears it from one of the elders in heaven, and he hears about the lion, he is expecting to see next a lion around the throne, a powerful lion which will bring about the execution of God's judgment on the wicked and give grace to his people. But then John sees in verse 5, verse 6, not a lion, but a lamb. Then I saw a lamb. And looking as if that lamb had been slain, as if that lamb had been put to death and slain. But the slain lamb was standing in the center of the throne. This is a resurrected lamb. This is a lamb that had been slain and had been put to death, and now a lamb that had been slain that stands, that had been put to death but has been raised. This is a lamb that John sees around or near the throne of God, right there in the presence of the four living creatures and the elders. And this lamb is the redemptive plan of God. God's deliverance, the end time events that God is speaking of in the Old Testament, it's not about a lion. It's not about a powerful king that comes riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and he will bring about a Jewish revolution where they will raise up an army behind him and drive out the Romans and bring about worldwide peace and prosperity for the kingdom of God. God's plan was to send a lamb. God's plan was to send the only one worthy to be that lamb, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross as the God-man and to take on God's wrath and judgments and woes, which are for God's people as well. The scroll which is filled with woes and judgments and lamentations is for all sinners. And what separates the message of salvation for those who believe and those who do not is the slain lamb who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, who was led as a sheep to the slaughter, to the cross, where he died on the cross and God's wrath and judgment fell upon him, and who was slain but rose and now is around the throne of God in heaven itself. This lamb is the one who is worthy to bring about the revelation of God's redemptive plan. He revealed it when he came to earth and he lived his life and he died on the cross and he rose again. This is the beginning of the end time events. This lamb alone is the one worthy to bring about the execution of God's end time deliverance events. And there is strength and power in this plan and in this lamb. The power of a lion. You see, both images are given to us in this text. The power comes through the lamb. The power comes through the one who died. The power comes through the one who did not rule on earth, but brought about a heavenly kingdom and a heavenly power. And the power that is found in his death and resurrection is greater than any power this world has ever known. It is the power that can change a sinful heart to come and believe in the gospel. The power that can change someone enslaved to sin and change that heart into new life and humbleness before God and an acknowledgement that God is the creator of the world and that His Son alone is the way of salvation. And this is what John tells us at the end of verse 6. For this lamb has seven horns. In the Old Testament, the horn, and in the rest of the Bible as well, the horn is the sign of strength. This lamb has seven horns. All strength, all power is in him. It is a complete strength and power and salvation of God. It is all in this lamb. It is all found in what this lamb has accomplished in his death and resurrection. There is the strength and deliverance for the Christian, and no power, not in heaven or on earth or below the earth, can take that power away. For it is his, and it is found in him. And we're also told that he has seven eyes. Seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. You see, from the throne, this message of salvation, this message of the deliverance of God, is sent out in completion to all the earth through the power of his Spirit. This message is sent out to the earth through the power of the preaching and the teaching of his word. And that word contains this redemptive power of salvation as it goes out from the very throne room of God. The power of salvation and deliverance. And as we will see in chapter 6, the power of judgment and woe and lamentation for the wicked who do not believe it and do not acknowledge it and reject him as the only Savior of the world. You see in our text the Trinity at work. For in verse 1 we see the Father, where in his right hand he is holding the scroll of the redemptive plan of God. We also see the Lamb, who is around the throne, this Lamb who had been slain and who rose again and is now all-powerful in the midst of the throne. And we see the Spirit, which is taking that message of the redemptive plan of God, which has been fulfilled in all its completion, which is summed up for us clearly in Revelation 5. That message of deliverance is sent out by the Spirit to all the world through the reading and the preaching and the teaching of God's holy word. And finally, we're told in verse 7 that the scroll, which in verse 1 is in the right hand of the Father, now we're told the Lamb took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. As Jesus was ready to go into heaven, in Matthew chapter 28, he declared to his disciples, "All power and authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples unto all nations, to come and believe in this message of salvation as it is proclaimed and as it works in the hearts of those who hear it." All power and authority now is in his hands. Because of his death and resurrection, he has brought about the execution of the redemptive plan of God. He is now seated at the right hand of God, and all this power, all this plan of God belongs to him. And he brings about this redemptive deliverance through the blood of the Lamb. He brings about the woes and judgments for those who reject him and reject this message. And so this morning, as we approach Revelation 5, we recognize that this is really not so hard at all. But what this message speaks of is the redemption plan of God, which is summed up for us in this Revelation book of the death and resurrection of our Savior and the deliverance He has come to bring. And as we read these words, we are not left trying to figure out the future. We are not left saying it's been completed in the past. But we are reminded what God has accomplished and how the Spirit continues to go out till this very day. For when we gather in worship, we are gathered before the throne. When we think of the power of God's redemption, which has been accomplished in Jesus Christ, we think of the strength that is found in the seven horns on the Lamb. We think of the power of this message as it goes out from the throne. We are reminded of the Lamb who is at the right hand of God, who has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. No one else could bring this plan about. He alone is worthy to take the scroll and bring about God's deliverance. No earthly plan for a better future is going to bring about that better future. The hope for those of us on earth and all of God's people is found only in this Lamb who is worthy to destroy all sin and wickedness and who has redeemed His people by taking God's wrath on Himself. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You this morning for this message from Revelation 5, which reminds us of our Savior, who alone was worthy to bring about the salvation which has been given to us. We pray, O God, that You would help us to embrace it. Help us, Lord, to be humble before You and know that salvation is only in the Lamb who has died for us. Father, remind us, as the Spirit works through us, that this message of salvation continues to go from the throne to this very day, that You are working through Your church, that You are working through Your people, that You are working through Your ministers and missionaries who have been sent out through the world to proclaim this gospel of salvation and this message of woe. We pray, O God, that Your Spirit may equip us and strengthen us and give us boldness to proclaim this message to those who do not know it. And may the strength of the Lamb be found in us each and every day as the Spirit is at work in us, changing our lives and enabling us to give praise and glory to You. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.